Welcome to the Left Hand Church podcast. My name's Paula Stone Williams, and I'm one of the co-pastors here. We're so glad that you're with us. We love having you join us here at Left Hand. We would love it if you would join us in a financial way as well. You can text any amount to 84321, and we'll receive it. You also can go to our website, lefthandchurch.org, and you can find out there how you can donate. Every time we begin a service, we begin with these words. Married, divorced, and single here. It's one family that mingles here. Conservative and liberal here. We've all got to give a little here. Big and small here. There's room for us all here. Doubt and belief here. We all can receive here. LGBTQ and straight here. There is no hate here. Woman, non-binary, and man here. Everyone can here. Whatever your race here, for all of us, grace here. In imitation of the ridiculous love Almighty God has for each of us and all of us, let us live and love without labels. We're in our third week of our four-week series. The people of Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. 430 years, and then God says, "I want you to have a party. I want you to have a feast. I want each of you in your homes to kill the lamb that you have, to eat it, and have a feast." You can just see the people of Israel saying, we're kind of enslaved, and lambs are not easy to come by, and we don't really see a reason for a feast, but they're accustomed to obeying God. And then they discovered the reason. God said, when you are done, you are to take the blood of that lamb and put it on your doorframe, because during the night, the angel of death will be passing over this land and will be taking the firstborn son from every household. But if you have the blood of a lamb on your doorframe, you will be spared and your child will live. Well, certainly to the people of Egypt, there was nothing more important than a firstborn son. A Pharaoh was always concerned about his legacy and his future until he had a firstborn son, because until he had a son, there was no guarantee that that line would continue. And throughout that culture, nothing was more important than a firstborn son. So the people of Israel obeyed, and they put the blood of the lamb in the door frame. And the angel of death passed over, that's where we get the word Passover, and saved their sons, while the rest of the firstborn sons were lost. With that, Pharaoh finally was ready to allow the people of Israel to leave, and Moses led them away across the Red Sea and into the Sinai Peninsula, where for 40 years they were in the desert. Moses received a message of 10 commandments from God atop Mount Sinai, added 603 additional ones to it, 613 laws, many of them not unlike other laws you saw from other lands in the Middle East at the time, but some of them quite different. Laws designed to make Israel a nation different from others, a nation focused on the oppressed, not becoming oppressors, a nation focused on the poor, the lost, orphans, children, widows, those who do not have privilege, all of those struggling. God wanted the nation of Israel to care deeply for those people and was confident they would, given the fact that they had been the oppressed for 430 years. And indeed they did. They became a strong, successful nation. And finally, David was their king, and they became known throughout the known world as a great nation that cared deeply for their own citizens and for others, being concerned for immigrants, the homeless, those who are without hope, bringing life to those who did not have opportunity for it. And then his own son was appointed king, the second son, from his marriage to Bathsheba. Solomon was his name. He was a wise young man. And for a period of time, he too reigned with great justice, Hebrew justice, tzedakah, giving the people what God wanted them to have, grace and mercy and love for all. But then, as so often happens with those in power, the lure of power became too great. And Solomon built a great, beautiful temple, but he built it with slave labor. He built three beautiful cities, but they were in fact military installations designed for war. He bought chariots and horses, not for any defensive purposes, but to sell them at a profit, to profit from war. And they no longer began to care for the oppressed, for the widows, for the orphans, for the children, for those who were less fortunate, for those who were not privileged. They began to care only about the 1%, and the prophets showed up and said, "This is not what God asked of Israel. God asks so much more of you." And Israel began to become a shell of its former self, divided into two kingdoms, one with 10 tribes, one with 2 tribes. The kings got worse and worse and worse, and the prophets got stronger and stronger in their words, and still the people of Israel did not want to listen. The oppressed had become the oppressors. Those with no power had become the power hungry. And eventually, after this time of triumph in Jerusalem, Israel was again enslaved, this time by the Babylonians. John will talk about that next week. So this great exodus, this great plan that put an end to 430 years of enslavement, that came when God passed over the land, protected their people, led them through the Red Sea and across the Sinai Peninsula, led them into the Promised Land. This great, beautiful exodus was for naught. They did not become the nation God wanted them to be, a nation concerned for the oppressed, because God's always been on the side of the oppressed. God's always been on the side of the lost. God's always been on the side of the loser. God has always been on the side of the suffering of those in pain, of the widows, the children, the orphans. God has always been on the side of those in tears. And though the Exodus was lost, there would be a new Exodus. Another lamb. This time God's own son would come to earth. Would come to earth to show them a different way of living. You know, we talk all the time here about two reasons that Jesus came to earth. We say that Jesus came to earth to show solidarity with us in our suffering, to be able to say to us that suffering is not the final word. Resurrection is the final word. It's an important lesson we learn from Jesus' time on earth, and particularly from his resurrection. Jesus also came to show us what it is to be truly and fully human, to show us how to live. But then Jesus also came as the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Now I see you getting that sideways look, kind of like a dog, you know, because you're saying, wait a minute, this church has been here like weekly, 3 years, this week. Haven't you told us over and over again that God loves us just as we are? Haven't you told us that God loves us and will take us to heaven regardless of how we behave, no changes demanded? Haven't you told us that God does not hate our sin so much, that God did not have to punish our sin by sending us to hell, and that we needed someone to pay the sacrifice for us? Haven't you told us that Jesus didn't need to be the sacrificial lamb? That kind of sacrificial lamb. Yes, it's exactly what I've told you. Jesus was not a sacrificial lamb to cause God to turn God's wrath away from us so we wouldn't go to hell. Jesus was a sacrificial lamb who came to show us we were on the wrong path. To show us that to be a follower of God is not about power. It's not about oppression. It's not about getting your way. It's not about lording it over others. It's not about who's in charge. It's about the last being the first and the first being the last. It's about shedding tears for the lives of the oppressed, for the children, for the orphans, for the widows, for those who do not have privilege, for those whose days are filled with tears. It's feeling empathy with them. It's identifying with them. It is loving them. The message was not well received. The message is never well received. When you bring the message that life is not about power, life is about service, life is about caring for the poor, that is a message that often gets you killed. And so it did with Jesus. Once again, a sacrificial lamb slain for the sins of the world. How was his death for the sins of the world? It was to show us a better way. 10th chapter, the Gospel of Luke. 24th verse, a bunch of attorneys show up. They have a question for Jesus. What must I do to gain eternal life? Jesus said, well, you're attorneys. What's written in the law? How do you read it? They said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as your own self. Jesus said, yep, do that, and you'll live. But now, pressing his luck, one of the lawyers said, who is my neighbor? Jesus told a story in reply. He said, this guy was headed down the mountain from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he got to this desolate place where there was nothing but burned out cars and stray engine blocks, and he was mugged and left for dead. And a priest came by, but he had pressed for time, and a Levite came by, but he had a budget to balance, and the poor guy by the side of the road was not having a real good day. But then a Samaritan came by, who understood something about pain and suffering and oppression in a way the priest and the Levite did not understand, and he had compassion on the man, and he bandaged his wounds, risking COVID, and he put him on his donkey, risking a lawsuit should he fall off. And he paid for his medical care without any concern for compensation. And Jesus said, now that's my idea of a neighbor. That's what it means to love your neighbor. So I flew home yesterday and I got on the plane and there was a woman seated in front of me who had an attitude, not a good attitude either. She got on the plane huffing and puffing about something that had happened in the jetway, and then sitting in the first row, she realized there was no place overhead to put her bags, and so she was huffing and puffing about that. Well, you should have a place for bags overhead. And when a man in the aisle across from her, who also had no place, put his bags in the overhead where she was planning to put hers, then she had something to say about him too. And she was muttering under her breath as she finally put her bags above me. I was sitting in the second row. I thought, wow, what entitlement, what privilege this woman has. And I judged her. The flight takes off. It's a couple hours long. I have time to work on my sermon that I'm preaching the next night, to start memorizing it. It talks about loving your neighbor. She's talking to her daughter. It's annoying to me because I'm trying to work on my sermon, and she's talking to her daughter somewhat loudly. They'd been to some kind of a family affair, and the daughter was concerned that her mother might somehow abandon her. The mother was aghast that the daughter had felt that way and said, oh, you know, I'm just like your father. Neither one of us would ever leave you. Nothing means as much to us as you. The daughter was satisfied, and she started chatting as 9-year-olds do, telling one of those interminable stories that never, ever ends. You think you'll be retired before the story ends? Yeah, you've been there. She just talks and talks, and the mother, instead of just humoring her, listened carefully to the entire story. Quick to judge. I'm often quick to judge. Flight lands. I hopped up, got her bag, and put it down on the floor. I'm tall, and so it's easier for me to get it back down. She profusely thanked me, as did her daughter. and then genuinely thanked me again a couple minutes later, as did her daughter. Love your neighbor as you love your own self. 19th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. A wealthy young man comes to Jesus, says, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus says, "Keep the law." He illustrates with a few choice offerings from the Ten Commandments and then adds another phrase to it. He says, "You need to love your neighbor as you love your own self." I don't know that the young man really understood how difficult that was going to be, to love your own self. Self-love is hard work. You know, I used to lead a seminar in which I would ask people to take 60 seconds and write on a piece of paper everything they could think of that was wrong about themselves. People wrote and wrote as fast as they could, put as many things down on the paper as they possibly could. When the minute was up, they wanted more time. Then I would say you have another 60 seconds to write everything you can think of that is right about you. They'd stare at the paper for 5 or 10 seconds, half-heartedly write down a word or two, put their pencils down, look at their watches, start daydreaming. All of us, unless we're narcissists, have a tendency to see everything we've done wrong. We take those early lessons in so well, and not the things we've done right. We need people in our lives who will tell us what's right about us. It's important for our own sense of self. It's important if we are to ever answer the call of God. You cannot answer the call of God if you do not know what's right about yourself. Where God calls you is where the world's deep hunger meets your deep gladness. You don't know your deep gladness if you don't know what you love. What causes you to lose track of time? You love it so much. What causes other people to affirm you for that which you love so much? To tell you what's right about you? That's how we discover our calling, not by trying to fix what's wrong with us, but by capitalizing on what's right with us. And you cannot do that. You cannot answer the call of God if you do not have people in your life telling you what's right about you. It's part of self-love. Of course, you also can't love yourself if you don't bring people into your life who will tell you what's wrong with you. I have 4 people who I allow to tell me anytime what's wrong with me. 2 of them are members of this church. But you know what? All 4 of them also tell me what's right about me. You shouldn't really be listening to people tell you what's wrong about you if they're not also the ones telling you what's right about you. Because if they see what's good about you, then that means they have the balance to see your flaws in perspective. And they'll help you to see those blind spots. They'll help you to accept the things you cannot change, find the courage to change the things you can. And they are the ones who give you the wisdom to know the difference. You cannot love others if you cannot love yourself. You cannot love yourself if you do not have people telling you what's right about you and what you need to work on. We don't know if the young man decided to follow Jesus or not. If he really understood how difficult it is to love yourself, he might have just focused on his wealth instead. Then we come to the last time, the one that got him killed. The last day Jesus is speaking to the crowds at large. He's asked, which of the laws are the greatest? They're trying to catch him and saying something that would allow them to see him dead, see him killed. They don't like the message he's bringing, that God loves everyone just as they are. And he says that there are, in fact, just 3 that matter. Loving God, loving neighbor, and loving self. And there's dead silence, because it's not the answer they want. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions, because from that day on, they knew they would exact revenge for saying such a thing. They would have blood. Jesus knew it. He met with his disciples. It was the Passover. the annual celebration of the feast of the night that the angel of death had passed over the homes of the people of Israel. Jesus knew he would be the sacrificial lamb, not to take care of our sins so we don't go to hell, but the sacrificial lamb who brought the message that love wins. He told the disciples, this body will be broken for you. I've been willing to pay the price to bring this message, to care for the oppressed, the poor, the lost, those who do not have privilege, to care for the widows, the orphans, the children, those whose days are filled with tears. I'm willing to bring the message that we should always be loving those people first, caring for those people first, and my body will be broken for it, and my blood will be shed for it. And as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do not ever forget why I came, to usher in a new Exodus. You know, there's only one hope for the world. It's that you love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. That's it. It's the only hope there is. You know, back in the 19th century, people were all excited about thinking about the return of Jesus, and there were three different views: the premillennial view, the amillennial view, and the postmillennial view. We'll be preaching about all three of those. Let me think. Never. Really doesn't much matter. But I really did like the postmillennial view, something you never hear any longer. What was that view? That view said that the people of God would love so well that the world would get better and better and better until eventually Jesus would come. And people would be so happy to have him this time that they would hear his message of love and he would reign for 1,000 years. I don't believe for a minute that in my lifetime I'm going to see a world where love reigns for 1,000 years. But call me foolish enough to believe the day will come if we, this church, we, our nation, we, this species, will learn to love the planet and the God who created it, to love our neighbors, every last one of them, and to love ourselves. Someday, God, someday, may we learn to love. And may we create the world you wanted to create with the Exodus. For this is our prayer, and we pray it in the name of Christ, the new Exodus. Amen.
This is John Gaddis. I'm one of the co-pastors here at Left Hand Church. As you listen to this teaching, we hope it was a reminder that the love of God is bigger, more inclusive, and filled with more grace than any of us can imagine. There is truly room for us all here. If you have any questions about Left Hand Church or this teaching, please email me at john@lefthandchurch.org. You can also tune into our live stream services on our church Facebook page every Sunday at 5 p.m. Mountain for great music and original teachings. Thank you for joining us.